Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 325, Expectation and Frustration. Seems like those are quite common this time of the year. I Googled, why is this a challenging time of year? And what came up, the second link, was actually my Pro U Podcast episode from last year entitled A Challenging Time of Year. It was episode number 275. So I thought that was kind of cute, kind of funny, kind of made me smile, kind of made me proud, but at least I'm consistent. So within that search, I came up with this list, and it really broke it down into we just have unrealistic expectations this time of year, which obviously results in increased frustration this time of year. Byron Katie has this quote. She said, "The only time we truly suffer is when our mind argues with reality." And it's just perfect. This is the car. This is the house. This is who's in your life. This is who's not. This is what's happened. This is where you work. And if you accept all that, it's pretty peaceful. And if you love all that, appreciate all that, you're thankful for all that, it can be a beautiful life. But if your mind is constantly arguing with reality, I wish I had that. I wish this wasn't that way. I wish I was there. I wish I wasn't here. I wish I was doing that. I wish I wasn't doing this. You suffer. And it's a trippy kind of thing. But I can back it all up by saying, look, over the last 4.5 years I've been doing this podcast, I have less of everything than I've ever had in my life. And I'm the best I've ever been. So if you reduce the expectation, you reduce the frustration. When you reduce the frustration, you simultaneously raise the joy, the hope, the good. You know, I'm always talking about yellow and purple. Yellow, that which you cannot control. Purple, that which you can control. Which fire are you flaming? Whichever fire you're flaming is growing. So if you're focused on the purple, that which you have, that which you control, your blessings, you're focused on it, you're being thankful in all circumstances, you're going to, over time, feel stronger in that area, just like a muscle that you've been working out over time. And pretty soon you won't be having those unrealistic expectations because you go, you know what? It is what it is. I'm not expecting the dog to meow. I'm not expecting the cat to meow. I don't expect to get water from the rock. At least not anymore. And your path changes. And your step changes. And your gait changes. And your perspective and your vista changes. Because you started climbing that pro-U tree. That's how you get there. Hope you're dealing with this time of year to the best of your ability, deeming yourself worthy. That's my hope. That's my wish. That's my prayer. That's why I do what I do. If you have any questions, comments, something you want to share, you want to chat, you want to hire me as your online trainer, holler at your boy. I am here. Thank you for listening. Enjoy. Expectations and Frustrations. Just came up with that title. Pretty concise. Based it on a little Google search that I found an article with. But my Google search was pretty cool. Because, you know, it's just that time of year. And I, you know, did a couple of 30 seconds or less talking about, you know, just the pressure, the planning, traveling, family, money. And, you know, and again, just what I've gone through every year, you know, being alone or being divorced or not having family or, you know, just different things that have made me think. And then again, having the podcast, I stop, pause, reflect, write it down. Okay, I'm going to share this. And I'm like, well, now doing that, you know, I looked and I said, hey, next Thursday's Thanksgiving. You know, I hadn't done that all the time, but more and more I'm getting a little bit, hey, how many do I have left? Any holidays coming out? When's this being released? And again, like right now, going to be the beginning of December. So yeah, this actually come out after Thanksgiving, but just again, just the time of year, you know, after Thanksgiving, through Christmas, through New Year's, can just be a funky time. And that was actually going to be my first title, Funky Time. But people might think it was about music or something. So I do the gurgle. I do the Google search. I said, why is this a challenging time of year for people if you're going to get like a top 10 list or something? Number two, a challenging time of year. Pro You Podcast. And I was like, no way. I searched something and it was literally the title, A Challenging Time of Year. So I guess it was a pretty specific title search, but I'm like, no way. So I actually clicked on the link, went to it last December, 2018. And I just thought it was just so funny that there I was doing the same exact thing a year later. Or here I am a year later doing the same exact thing, Googling something in my own podcast comes up. So whatever that's worth, it was just kind of cool. Tickled my feather. All right, so the article that I pulled up was entitled The Most Stressful Time of the Year by Angie Marcos. And I liked it all, so I'm going to go ahead and read it all. It's not that long. It's pretty concise, the way I like it. Out-of-town visitors, money worries, shopping, overeating. The holidays bring a host of stressors. And it's always cool. You know, I'm not a big reader at all. But when I do Google and pull up an article, I have that much attention to stay with the whole article. But just the wording and how they phrase things is just always a little bit different because, again, they're not me. And it always colors in, you know, like what I'm thinking, what I'm trying to say. So I'm thinking reading's a good thing. The holidays bring a host of stressors. CSU health professionals offer good advice for turning down the tension. I even like that phrase, turning down the tension. And I'm like, wow, if you think of a dial and you think I'm going to turn this down, what do you turn down? Tension. I've never used the word tension as far as, you know, when you think about stress and anxiety. I've never used, but it's a great word, tension, turning down the tension. Maybe that's my new thing. All right. How is it that I really like this article. I like how it's phrased and worded. And this is where I got my title from. I mean, I've read it 1,000 times, you know, expectations lead to frustrations. I've posted that 1,000,000,000 times, but it just was like, okay, I thought that was a great title because we have expectations for this type of year on ourselves, on others, what should happen, what shouldn't happen. And when you have those expectations, they typically are a bit high and we typically then become frustrated, which leads to a whole host of other things. So how is it that multicolored lights, sweet treats, and gift giving too often translate into overwhelming stress? Stress. We're having a little pronunciation problem today. Bear with me. And gift giving too often translate into overwhelming stress, frustration, and exhaustion. The number one reason, according to Jonah Fries, Director of Counseling and Psychology Services at California State University, is that so many of us have unrealistic, here it is, expectations of what the season should look like. Great word, right? I think it's Tony Robbins. Stop shooting on yourself. This can deter many. Deter, that's a great word, isn't it? One more letter, S, Dieter, say. This can deter many from enjoying end-of-year festivities, she cautions. Managing your expectations is often easier said than done, but especially with stressors that include too little time, strained finances, pressure to find the perfect present, struggling to balance work and family, overeating, and dealing with difficult relatives. Yuck! Planning ahead by creating to-do lists and shopping lists will help you stay organized and on track, says Susan Krikorian, certified health education specialist and a health educator at Klotz Student Health Center at Cal State University, Northridge. Prioritize what's most important, set limits, and learn to say no or postpone things that can wait. According to the American Psychological Association, the holiday season is also a time when many report experiencing feelings of sadness, loneliness, fatigue, and plain old irritability. So they kind of do a Q&A with both these doctors. With the holiday season kicking off earlier every year, many of us feel stressed earlier than in the past. What are some ways to manage stress during the ever-lengthening holiday season? Dr. Fries, boundaries are very important during the holidays. If your family is intolerable, make plans to do something else. I love that. It's just straight up. If your family is intolerable, make plans to do something else. If you want to be with family, but they're challenging or draining, try to take breaks by exercising. Like, I love that. Hey, I'm going for a walk or a run. Fantastic. How can they get mad at you? You're working out. It's for you. And it will refill, replenish you. Try to take breaks by exercising, seeing friends, perhaps not staying in the same home as those family members, and maybe shortening your visit. I had a client once saying, 4 days, or shit, 3 days. Shit, 3 days. That's the limit. That's how long fish will start smelling bad. So whether you have people stay or you're visiting, 3 days. Finances are often difficult during the holiday period. Only spend what you can afford. I heard this quote the other day. Stop spending money you don't have to buy things you don't need to impress people you don't know. Isn't that cool? If you have money saved for tuition or for something in your future, don't think of that as money as available for gifts. Your presence, is the most important present. Cute, right? Focus on helping someone else. Serving others always helps take your mind off of you and your stuff. Focus on helping someone else or plan something special for yourself, especially if you tend to get sad and lonely around the holidays. If you don't have family to spend the holidays with, find some meaningful volunteer work to keep you busy and keep your mind off of your stuff by focusing on other people that have it worse than you. I just added that. Or plan to spend them with another family. We all have a biological family, and some of us have created a logical family. Wow. Biological and logical. I've never heard that either. I love that. Logical family. That's what I have. One made up of friends who treat us with dignity. The logical family. A family made up of friends who treat us with dignity. I'm writing that down. Krikorian. Try deep breathing or guided meditation apps to help clear your mind and center yourself. Reach out and connect with others. Volunteer and seek support when you need it. And remember, healthy habits like eating well, exercising, getting enough sleep, and limiting the use of alcohol will help you better manage the stress that comes along with the holidays. See, it was so funny because, you know, I went to therapy and I went on medication, and both places, both people, you know, distributing said therapy works the best if you're eating well and exercising. And then when I was going to go on medication, said, you know, medication works the best if you're eating well and exercising. I go, isn't it funny how that is like the foundation to help these other things? It's like, well, that's what we should be doing. I mean, those should be the two things on everybody's, well, two of the things on everybody's pro-you list. Eating well and exercising. It's just moving. You know, just there's eating bad and not eating bad. It doesn't have to be crazy. But just those two things generally keep you a little bit more balanced. And then, of course, you know, getting enough sleep, drinking enough water. Basics, basics, basics. But it's hard. And again, when it's a tough time of year, then those things that are basic or kind of common sense, it gets tough, man. It just does. All right, next question. What are the most common causes of stress this time of year? Dr. Fries. Family, number one. Money, overeating, being sedentary, and not having a regular routine. Also, comparing yourself and gifts and your family to others, to other families or other unrealistic or superficial ideas about who people are or what families should look like. There's the word again, should. See, I love that. It's, you know, you have this, oh, that was almost bad. Car screeching. I don't know if you heard that at all. Comparing yourself and gifts and your family to other families or unrealistic superficial ideas about who people are or what families. I love it. Again, there are the expectations. I wrote it down. This is what I want. Those people have that. I want a family like that. I want interaction, love, support like that. Oh, I watched a movie. I want that. It's just typically unrealistic. And it's, you know, I can get a whole into a whole thing right now, but it's not bad. Okay, what you have is enough. Be thankful for what you have. You get that to glow, and it will just fill in all these other holes. Many of our traumas come from our families. If we have not worked through them and developed solid coping skills, we tend to get triggered when we spend time with family. Yup. Krikorian. One of the biggest causes of stress this time of year is the increase in responsibilities that come with the holiday season, including hosting or attending parties, visiting family and friends, shopping, baking, wrapping. The list goes on. Sometimes having too much to do can leave us feeling stressed. But the opposite is also true. The holidays can bring on feelings of loneliness or sadness for those who have lost loved ones or may be socially isolated. Next question. Anything else to keep in mind as the demands of the season get more intense? Dr. Fries. Identify 5 things you can do on your own to lift your spirits. Love it. Pro you. Some might listen to music, exercise, paint, sing, pet their animal, cook, etc. Be kind to yourself. Take time for yourself to recover from the tense family gatherings and be realistic about what you can expect from family and friends. Krikorian, expressing gratitude. I love it. I love it, love it, love it, love it. Number one, express gratitude, like out the gate. First thing she says, expressing gratitude can create many personal benefits, such as better health, stronger relationships, a greater sense of happiness, and a higher overall life satisfaction. And again, expressing gratitude for what? For what you have. While all this other stuff is going on. You know, she just says expressing gratitude can create many personal benefits, but it's like, okay, this type of year when I'm sad and don't have this, what am I supposed to be thankful for? Well, what you have. There's always something to be thankful for. And I've been saying it forever. It becomes like a superpower. So again, here's someone saying just straight out, here's the benefits. But I'm trying to define, well, express gratitude for what? If it's, I don't have this and I don't have that, it's like, well, it's kind of the point. You do have something to be thankful for. It's just, what are you focusing on? Take time to reflect on the good things in your life. Boom. What I was just talking about. Start a gratitude journal. Always say this. Always, always. I mean, there's the pro you list, and then there's the thank you list, gratitude list. Start a gratitude journal by writing down things you're grateful for. Tell your family, friends, colleagues, or professors that you appreciate them, or send a gratitude text, a text message to tell someone that you are grateful for them. So again, if you're just focusing on these other things, you can get your mind off of the yucky things, you know, because again, it's like what you don't have. If that's the fire that you're going to flame, then that's the fire that's going to grow. So in lieu of what's not happening, what you expected, what you wrote down, what you wanted, what's going on, who you're worth, who you're with, you can still be thankful. And if you're thankful, there's not a lot of expectation and frustration going on. So it's kind of the win-win. It might be only one thing, but you have one thing to be thankful for. So it was the beginning of November, and this thing was just kind of hammering at me. And I'm like, why is it, like, hard? You know, it's like you're beating yourself up to feel better, do better, get better. And then you do feel better. You get better. You are better. And the voice comes in going, yeah, but you should do this now. You should do, like, it never lets up. Like, the voice has always got the foot on the gas pedal. So it was slowing up. You know, it's like a slow time of year. And, you know, I've been talking about, you know, just life in general for me. And Zen is a lot slower now. And I'm just trying to respond, not mind what happens, stay thankful in all circumstances, you know, all the things I'm preaching about all the time. And it was like, well, clients are going out of town, it's going to slow down even more, maybe you should. And I was like, right there, I was like, what's that voice going? I should, what? I'm training my clients, I'm getting things done, keeping the house clean, you know, running errands, you know, working out, you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing everything that I should be doing right now. And I'm like, that should just be enough. So I can just be. And I'm like, that's the challenge for November, December. Just be. Like, kind of do just the minimum, but not like you're being, you know, like lazy. It's like, no, I got, you know, a client today. That's what I'm doing. And then I'm going to fill the day with the other things. And when I'm done, I'm going to rest. And it was kind of funny because I was talking to a client about that. And he said, you know, it's kind of this struggle of letting go. It's like the easy thing, but it's really hard to do. And I go, that's the whole point. You know, you get to this higher level and you start looking a little bit more specific at things and you start realizing it's almost like a natural thing, but we can't do it because we're trained. You know, it's just ingrained in us to do this thing. Charge, attack, bull in the china shop, conquer, win. And, you know, there's not much stop, pause, reflect, feel good in those. So I was telling the same thing. I said, you know, and I said this to my client. I go, if looking in on my life, I would think someone would ask, where's the bad? I mean, you're healthy, 54 and a half. Your dog's healthy. You went through a lot of stuff last summer, you know, not making a, you know, a X amount of income, but you've got some, you know, saved that's getting you through. You go to the beach, you're creative, you love where you live, you know, you just feel good. You've never had the peace of mind. It's like, where would the bad be? I'm like, see, I must see my life that way. That's the goal. Because when I'm talking to a client, I'm like, well, here's the good. Boom, 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 boom. If you're not looking at that, then that's the problem. And I mean it wholeheartedly. There's the good in your life. That's plenty to look at, to stare at, to focus on. That's the fire to flame. Let that grow. Let that engulf you. Let you get buried in your pool of purple, where all you can see and feel is purple. Again, purple, that which you have, that which you control, that's which serves you, your blessings in life, the things that you're thankful for, the things on your gratitude list. Like, just can we not just sit there and be. So it's like really not thinking about yesterday or the past at all. And it's not thinking about tomorrow or the future at all. And it's really being present. And there was a quote that I passed out, posted a few days ago. And it was like, you know, this problem comes into your head or this thought. And just it said right now, ask yourself right now, is there a problem right now? No, there's not a problem right now. And I'm like, wow. And that was just a random quote I found, but that was like straight out of AA. He used to tell everybody, how are you right now? You know, this guy was at a meeting with me. And he's like, right now, Wednesday, 2 o'clock, how are you? You're talking to me. How are you right now? And he literally meant it. I'm like, you're sitting there talking to me. How? I'm like, I'm good. I'm like, because there you are. You're good. It just stuck with me. But see, that's the thing is you got to quiet that noise. The future stressors, the past, you know, things that got you bummed out. We have to quiet all of that so we can just be. But it's almost like, well, you're not being responsible. I literally told this to a client yesterday. I said, growing up, it was almost like my parents, it was like ingrained going, no, you have to worry. Like it was irresponsible to not worry. And not ripping on, not judging, not at all. But literally, it's part of the DNA. You know, that groove that was just ingrained in them from their parents and their childhood and what they went through. She's like, no, you can't just. And I'm like, wow, when I don't think about yesterday or tomorrow, I feel so good. I'm like, wow, I have an amazing life. My life rocks. I love my life. I love me. Now, that's not 24/7. That's not all the time. It doesn't happen easily. But it never happened before 48. Never really happened before 50. From 50 to 54, it started happening, especially after 52 when I went on the so-called spiritual journey. So 52 to 54, I'm starting to go, okay, there's some real good. And when I'm here doing this, not thinking, not worrying, you know, not talking to certain people, not going to certain places, not doing certain things, I'm feeling things I've never felt, thinking things, experiencing things I've never thought, never experienced, never thought I would. So I'm good. I'll stay here. And that's like the best. That's my purple. But again, the question, why couldn't I just stay there? Well, maybe you should be doing this. You know, maybe you should sell some prints. I came up with the, you know, a special on 4x6s, 5x7s with matting and backing to sell. Found art prints for sale. And then it's like a month later, I'm like, when do you? Maybe it's your calendars. I haven't done calendars for a long time. So I did a found art calendar and I did a Zen calendar. And I'm like, you know, that's the thing. It's like, keep going. It's like, and those are fine. I'm not bummed on those things, but there's that internal, like that ticking mechanism that just keeps going. Tick, 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 tick. Move forward. Get more. Do more. Work harder. Fill that time. And it was just like, wow, the challenge to just be. And again, mentally, manually, to shift your perspective where you can see your life as others see your life if they were looking in. Because what I mean by that is like if I stepped out for a second and just looked in saying, okay, quick, Tom, tell me you're good. A list would be long. Tell me you're bad. It would really be hard to do. I'm like, okay, so you're perfect then, right? Well, no, not all the time. You're better than you've ever been, and you're that way the majority of the time. Yes. Definitely, 100%, with conviction, yes. So then that just becomes my goal. Okay. No planning. No, here's the next level. Here's the next thing. Here's the next thing you need. None at all. Just be thankful every day what you have. And this kind of leads into the next point where I said, you know, there's a part of us that should be at least curious, if not excited, to experience life as the new us, as the better version. And that's kind of where I started getting. Like I always tell people, you know, you can't go, when I feel good, I'm going to work out. No, you start working out. If you haven't worked out ever in a long time, it's not going to be fun. There's not a lot of rewards when you start working out. You get sore. It's just tough to work out again. And you know, you're doing things you haven't done. And your heart rate increases. And you're sweating. I mean, it's just not a lot of fun. But when you work out, you start getting it. And after years and years, you're like, look, if I work out, I just look, feel, act better done. I'm not going to question. I'm just going to do those things. Now you know. You're not, well, I'm wondering if I keep working out. You know now. That's your thing. I got clients that go, look, if I check that box 2-3 times a week, I'm a better person. I don't ever question it. And I have 2 or 3 clients that are like that, that just never waver because they know that's part of their foundation. Those are big stones they never had. It took a long time to drag them into their foundation. And now that they are part of their huge foundation and they've started building upon that, they will never stop working out. So it's not even that level. It's that next level where now those people are going, well, what if I did this? Would I benefit from? Well, why are they thinking about doing more? Disciplining themselves a little bit more, taking a little bit more bad out, taking a little bit more good and placing it in. Why? Well, you just start going, well, I made these choices and I feel like this, which is better than I've ever felt. You just naturally kind of keep going. So it's kind of like the carrot dangling. If I've done these pro-you choices, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, for the last 2 years, and I was a 6, and now I'm a 7.5, shouldn't I be a little curious to see what a 7.8 version of me would be? Therefore, shouldn't I just be a little excited? Going, wow, I look back 2 years, I kind of see the work I've done. I know I'm better than I've ever been. I like the thoughts in my head. I like my ability to control those thoughts in my head. I'm thinking if I just do what I'm doing, in 6 months, it will all be better. In 1 year, it will all be better. In 2 years, it will all be better. So there should be a little built-in, kind of curious. I'm going to keep doing that thing. I'm not going to judge myself. I'm not going to critique myself because I know I'm headed there. And a little excitement going, wow, I mean, I love myself. Haven't said that. Like myself in a way. Never have. Feel better than I ever have before. And that's in the last 2 years. Well, if I do this for 2 more years, I mean, of course, it's going to get better. I mean, it's a built-in guarantee. And if you go back to when I was struggling, a 6, that 6 got to here. A 7. Well, how could that 7 not propel, not transcend, not move forward, not progress? And when you start kind of breaking it down again, we need to stop, pause, we're taking inventory, we're reflecting. But when you start doing this, you can kind of go, oh, look, huh, I really don't have to worry. What do you mean? Well, I'm doing a lot better than I did 2 years ago. Oh, you get a new job, got married, made more money, bought a new car, what? Nope, I'm just a better me. Well, what are you talking about then? Well, when I'm a better me, it seems like it's just easier to be me, and life as it is easier. And I like that, because if it's easier being me and my life as his is easier, it's like, kind of feeling more in control. Why? Well, that's what I'm focusing on. That gratitude list, those things you're thankful for, the things that serve you, the things that you can control. That's part of your world. That's your small world. And when you focus on that flame, that fire grows. Now you start understanding, oh, here it is. Here's the connection. This is what it is. Again, here I am. It was episode 275, last December. Recording challenging time of year. And I'm like, here, this is what you should do. Giving advice, feeling good. Now, I had no idea I would have the summer I had. I would be feeling like I am. I would have more clarity, a better perspective, and not because I got anything. I didn't read one book, take a continuing educational class, win something, get a bunch of money, bought a bunch of stuff, went a bunch of places, hung out with a bunch. No. But now it is a year later, episode number 325, and I know I'm better. I know I see things clear. And it's a smaller amount of things, though. Like, I'm truly focused on less things right now than I was a year ago. I believe that in my heart. Because I'm getting better at knowing what's really, really important, what really, really serves me, what should I focus on? And if I'm better at focusing on now, then there's less of yesterday in the past and there's less of tomorrow in the future in my head, which I know for a fact is better than it was a year ago. So I'm experiencing a little bit less of the expectational, and therefore I'm experiencing less of the frustrational. I don't know if those are words, expectational and frustrational, but I just said them. So they're now out there. Use them if you want to. Apologize for any harsh feedback you get for using them. So that's the thing. You know, it's not, if you're, like I said, you were a 6, you're in a bad place. And I always do the scale 1 to 10. In your bad place, you're a 4, you're 5, you're 6. When you get a 7, you start going, okay, I now know it's different than it was, and it's better than it was. And you really don't have to explain that to anyone. No one else really needs to understand that. You know that you feel better than you did. But it's not completely familiar. It's not super comfortable, and there's no way you could be confident yet. But that's where you're like, okay, I got to have that belief and faith. And there's a great quote. It said, bird sitting in the nest on a branch. She's not chilling because she's like, this branch will never break. No, she's chilling because if the branch happened to break, she can fly. She has belief, faith in her own ability. So if you were a 6 and it was dark and there was no silver lining, no light at the end of the tunnel, and you got from there to a 7, that was the hardest thing. Like, the hard work's done. Now it's just time. And if you got better the last year, the last 6 months, the last 2 years, that will continue. Why? Because once you climb that pro you tree, you're never going to climb back down. You like that vista. You like what you're experiencing, seeing, feeling. You'll never climb back down. So the longer you spend in that tree, the better you get. The longer you spend climbing, the better you get. It's like anything. And that's kind of the, you know, I guess the win-win for me is I was always good at repetition. And I understood that if you did things repetitively, you got better. It wasn't rocket science. So I did things repetitively and got better. I lifted, hit a tennis ball against the tennis wall, joined karate, would just go to the karate school and, you know, do 1,000 kicks. Just, some people aren't good at repetition. I am. I don't need a lot of bells and whistles. And I know that's how I got good. Now, there were other things I was a mess, not good at. And I couldn't pick my thoughts, control my thoughts, do that repetitively, do that consistency, understand the value, deem myself worthy. I couldn't do any of that stuff. But I got better. And I was telling a client this, man, when I started getting those first few breadcrumbs, I'm like, okay, I'm going this way. Why? I got 2 breadcrumbs. Like, never got these kind of breadcrumbs in this way before. So in lieu of them not being comfortable, me not being confident, not being familiar, I'm just going to keep going this way and then give it time. And to me, I was feeling better so I could give myself that time. I think I've been way patient with myself the last 4 years, more so than I ever have been, because I felt better. Oh my God, you got to do this, you got to do this. Those thoughts aren't really on my mind anymore. I'm like, you got to be happy with this. You got to be happy right now. You got to be present. And when I do that, I'm better. And this is a fact. You know, you will things to you. If you're a mess and you're stressed and you're overwhelmed and you're frustrated and you're panicked, that vibe just gets sent out into the universe. And horses, bees, dogs, and people, some people, can feel that. So you attract that which you are like. So if you're going, look, I'm not going to have a bunch of expectations. I'm not going to have that I should list. I'm going to take time. Because it comes, it slows down, time off work, we're sitting around. And I'm just going to reflect and I'm going to be thankful. Because I can. And I know that if I do that consistently, it will grow like a muscle. If I flame that fire will grow and that will become a superpower. And I can depend on that. I can count on it. I can be curious. I can be excited about where I'm headed. what that newer version of me will be like. And then you will, overall, you reduce the expectations and frustrations. All right, I'm going to end with a little fit tip here. PYP fit tip. This is sugar. Sugar is just bad. Sugar is bad. 10 things you don't know about sugar. Here we go. Number one, sugar can damage your heart. While it's been widely noted that excess sugar can increase the overall risk for heart disease, a study in the Journal of American Heart Association displayed strong evidence that sugar can actually affect the pumping mechanism of your heart and could increase the risk for heart failure. Two, sugar specifically promotes belly fat. Adolescent obesity rates have tripled in the past 30 years and child obesity rates have doubled. A 2010 study in children found that excess fructose intake, but not glucose intake, actually caused visceral fat cells to mature, setting the stage for a big belly and even bigger future risk for heart disease and diabetes. 3. Sugar is the true silent killer. Move over salt and hypertension. You've got competition. Sugar, as it turns out, is just as much of a silent killer. A 2008 study found that excess fructose consumption was linked to an increase in a condition called leptin resistance. Leptin is a hormone that tells you when you've had enough food. The problem is we often ignore the signal our brain sends to us. For some people, though, leptin simply does not want to work, leaving the person with no signal whatsoever that the body has enough food to function. This, in turn, can lead to overconsumption of food and consequently obesity. Why the silent killer? Because it all happens without symptoms or warning bells. 4. Sugar may be linked to cancer production and may affect cancer survival. In the world of nutrition, it's hard to talk about sugar without talking about insulin. That's because insulin is sugar's little chaperone to the cells. And when too much of it is consumed, our insulin doesn't work, probably because we're eating too much sugar and the body revolts. 5. Your sugar addiction may be genetic. If you've ever said, "I'm completely addicted to sugar," you may actually be correct. A recent study showed that those who had genetic changes in a hormone called ghrelin consumed more sugar and alcohol than those that have no gene variation. Ghrelin, G-H-R-E-L-I-N, is a hormone that tells the brain you're hungry. 6. Sugar and alcohol have similar toxic liver effects on the body. A paper in the journal Nature brought forth the idea that limitations and warnings should be placed on sugar, similar to warnings we see on alcohol. The authors showed evidence that fructose and glucose in excess can have a toxic effect on the liver, as the metabolism of ethanol, the alcohol contained in alcohol beverages, had similarities to metabolic pathways that fructose took. 7. Sugar may sap your brain power. Sugar may have accelerated the aging process. A study found a positive relationship between glucose consumption and the aging of our cells. Aging of the cells, consequently, can be the cause of something as simple as wrinkles to something as dire as chronic disease. But there is other alarming evidence that sugar may affect the aging of your brain as well. Another study found that excess sugar consumption was linked to deficiencies in memory and overall cognitive health. 8. Sugar hides in many everyday non-sugar foods. While many of my patients strive to avoid the normal sugary culprits, candy, cookies, cake, etc., they often are duped when they discover some of their favorite foods also contain lots of sugar. Examples include tomato sauce, fat-free dressing. And I got a list that was cut off. 9. An overload of sugar, specifically in beverages, may shorten your life. A study estimated that 180,000 deaths worldwide may be attributed to sweetened beverage consumption. The United States alone accounted for 25,000 deaths. The authors summarized that deaths occur due to the association with sugar-sweetened beverages and chronic disease risks such as diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. 10. Last one. Sugar is making us fat. I figured I'd leave the most obvious fact for last. While you may be aware that too many calories from any source will be stored as fat if not burned, what you may not connect is that the lack of other nutrients in sugar actually makes it much easier to eat gobs of it with no physical effects. To warn us of the danger that lurks, foods rich in fiber, fat, and protein all have been associated with increased fullness. Sugar will give you the calories, but not the feeling that you've had enough. That's why you can have an entire king-size bag of licorice with its sky-high glycemic index at the movies and come out afterwards ready to go for dinner. On a final note, it's important to point out that sugars from milk in the form of lactose don't display the same negative health effects that we see in the literature when reviewing sugar's effects on the body. Simple sugars coming from fruit are also less concerning given their high amounts of disease-fighting compounds and fiber, And that was from the Huffington Post, Kristen Kirkpatrick. All right. Last thing I'm going to share. I have this computer problem for 40 days. How do I know it's 40 days? Well, my computer wouldn't back up, and I did a software update. And all of a sudden it was like, can't update or can't back up your computer. And I spent a while just not knowing what it was, but I just started getting this notice. Like, I would be at the computer for half an hour, I'd get it three times. And so I reached out, and Nico helped me a little bit, told me what it might be, and, you know, said, you know, worst case scenario, this and this and that. So I just kind of left it alone. But it was just one of those things where I thought of, like, you know, someone tapping you on the chest with their finger. Like, okay, it's not that bad. It's kind of annoying. But after a while, you're like, that's just bot. Like, every time it was this thing. I can't remember what I read, but there was like, you know, the first thing that happens is real. And then your mind starts just going with it on its own. None of it's real. And I get that notice, and I'd be like, okay, there's something wrong. And one day my computer's just going to shut down, and none of it's backed up. And I'm not sure what that means, and I'm not sure what I will lose, and it's going to cost money, and I'm having it just on. So everything was like this ding, and it was like Pavlov's theory. Once that little window popped up, I could just delete it, but it was just that moment of being tapped and being remembered and being reminded, going, oh, yeah, that yucky thing. And I didn't really know how much it was bothering me. I just knew it was. And I'm like, I hate, like, asking for help. It's one of the things that I just don't like doing. And the technical stuff always kind of made me a little stressed. But I came to a realization that's also, and this is kind of the first time, it's like I'm putting that person out that I'm asking help for. Because if I ask for help and they start helping me and I can't understand it, I don't get it, I'm like, okay. Now I'm looking dumb, feeling dumb. I'm putting them out. You know, I'm going to add yuck to their life. And it just all kind of escalates within. My brain wants to shut down. I want to run away. I don't want to ask help. I don't want to do it. And I thought about it. Well, there's a young boy learning from his father. All those wonderful things. So I finally asked Nico. I said, look, can we just chat and see what we can do? And then I'll go to plan B. And I have no idea what that plan B is, but I have to do something. And Nico did. And he was just calm. It's like something he just does. It's a problem. I'll fix it. We'll figure it out. But along the way, it's like, well, I don't know about this, or I'm not sure if we can do this. And, well, that's going to be different. You know, it's like he'd ask these questions, and I'm like, wow, he doesn't know. But the whole time he's helping me, he's online researching. So he's kind of thinking out loud, searching for things, coming up with answers. And I was kind of planning for a big headache and at some time to wave the white flag going, you know, Nico, I can't continue. I got to give up. I got to stop for today. My head hurts, something. And all of a sudden we were done. And I'm not 100% sure it's backing up perfectly, but renamed it. Whatever it said, it was full. We made sure the computer knew it wasn't full, said it was empty, renamed it. And the next morning I woke up and it said first backup to Tom's backup. And number one, I just could not believe how good I felt. It was like, I didn't realize the amount of yuck that was just kind of, because it was like, well, what if it dies? What if it's bad? What if it, you know, money, da, 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 da. It's just, again, was there anything wrong? No. Like right now, how are you? I'm fine. Computer working? Yep, you're good. But I woke the next morning, got that little window, and I text Nico, and I said, thank you so much. I said, I just feel so, I couldn't believe how good, like that weight had been lifted. I just couldn't believe how good I felt. But while I was on the phone with Nico, we were chatting for a bit. And this is the part I enjoy. Because in that moment, I'd be like, here's a guy I kind of feel indebted to. Here's a guy I want to show how much I think, how thankful I am for him. I want to show him how much I appreciate him. But I want him to see his value. So I'm just going to tell him some things, and he's going to believe me, and he's going to feel better. And I know all that. And I like those moments because, you know, as we're chatting, you know, he's kind of saying some things, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I sent out this quote, and I said, Nico, do you see the quote I sent out where it said, your time and energy is currency. Be careful with whom you share it with. Now, if you're careful who you share your time and energy with, based on it being currency and having value, you're going to have to say no to some people so you can say yes to the people that are the most deserving. And you have to be okay with that. So in those moments, I said, dude, you got to understand your time and energy has value. I appreciate you for your help, what you do, how you came in and started producing. And, you know, I used to get these long links, and now I get this small link. And I don't know what you have, but it's just a shorter link. And I go, that's way cooler. But I used to just get the link sent to me. No, nothing. I get an email from Nico. How are you? Thank you for letting me do this. That's the one that kills me the most. He's thanking me for letting him produce the Pro You podcast. I'm like, I'm going to tell him, and he's going to feel better. But if I didn't have what I had, I wouldn't have that power to know. I know what to say. I know how to say it. I'm going to say it. He's going to believe me, and he's going to feel better. And I love that. Like I'm just sharing that's part of the purple. Like I got all of this from what lied within myself, not from anything external, but kept following the breadcrumbs, kept focusing on the purple, flaming that fire. That grew, that muscle became stronger. That thankfulness, that gratitude, that became a superpower. It helps me get through everything. There's never been a situation that I've gone through that I wasn't immediately going, okay, here's what I'm thankful for. Why? Well, I trained myself. And I've learned if I do that, A, I get B, which is I'll typically weather the storm better. I'll feel a little bit better through it. I'll come out with a little better clarity and perspective, and I'll be like, well, I went through that and I learned a little, and so now I'm thankful for that. Hey, now I got a fodder for the podcast, and so on and so on and so on. So I enjoy being me. I enjoy being this version. So I'm thankful how I got here. And if you've been listening for the last 4.5 years, you know the story was not a straight line. It was not fun, not familiar, not comfortable. But I got to a point where I was curious enough and excited enough to pursue that, to consistently pursue a better me, moment by moment, my wish, my hope, even during this type of year, time of year, with the expectations and frustrations, that you pursue a better you, moment to moment. Is this a better me? Should I go there? Should I call him back? Should I show up? Should I talk to him? Should I invite him? Should I do? Should I spend that? Should I go? Everything that you're going to do, every decision, is it for better for me? And then deem yourself worthy of executing whatever that answer is. That's why I do what I do, why I have the podcast, and again, why I'm so thankful. Because I know I'm having an effect on some people, and that makes my world go round. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. One step at a time, one moment at a time, you can do this. because you are worth it. These moments, every one of them, all 325 of them, I've loved. Even with today's event, right about when I was going to start, and I was recording in the morning, it's nice and quiet, and recycling truck parks in front of the Zen Garden. And I made like a special stop on an early Saturday morning to pick up some stuff from the neighbors. Waiting about 20 minutes. And I'm like, well, you know, all I talk about, all I preach about, everything I've been doing for 4.5 years with the podcast, just deal. Just do this part. Do the photo. Do the email to Nico. Just keep going. Just keep, don't kill leaves. You're okay. And that's how I got to today's Pro You moment. Pointed, I thought. So let us begin to control that which we can. Purple, yay, purple, yay, purple. Eyes closed, neutral neck, navel tucked into your spine, seated on the floor. Legs crossed, folded if you can. And draw that inhale through the nose, exhale out the mouth. Elongate those, slow them down. We're connecting the mind, the body. You gotta focus. You just breathe naturally. If you're gonna change it, alter it, slow it down, you need to tap into it, connect to it, which will make you present in this moment. Being present is holding on to a thought. Any other else thought rolls into your mind, the space between your ears, calmly, quietly ask it to leave and return to your breath. That's what you'll focus on to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. fantastic pro you moment. It took me 54 and a half years to get here. So I'll be the first one to say most of the things I'm talking about just take a long time. But if you get good at one, you get consistent, it's enough to just get you started. Get the wheels in motion. It's like allowing your mind to see what's possible. And when I first used the analogy that you're like someone's drowning, and the first breath of air that they get, like nothing else matters. In that moment, they understand the difference from A, B. I was drowning, I'm not. I was thinking, feeling, experiencing A, and now I'm thinking, feeling, experiencing B. Just has to make sense to that one person. And that's when I talk about those breadcrumbs. Okay, I like that. I like that feeling. I liked not feeling that feeling. I'm going to keep going that way. I'm going to keep doing those things. There must be more good ahead that lies waiting for me if I continue to deem myself worthy, make these choices, not beat myself up when I make a mistake, not critique myself when I don't do it perfectly, not judge myself when I fall down. Moment to moment, making choices, deeming yourself worthy, and allowing yourself to become a better you. Decreasing the expectation. Decreasing the frustration. Accepting and being thankful for your reality. Peace. And God bless.